Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is another blessed day in Christ Jesus. God bless you all on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. Amen and amen. Thank God for another blessed day. Wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves at this before you at this hour, acknowledging that you are all wise and you are all knowing. And Lord, we know that true source of revelation comes from you through your spirit. Therefore, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, our creator, our father, to those of us that have accepted you as Lord. And we ask as we make this petition before you that you would just release in our spirit the understanding of your word. Father, I pray today that your word will go forth in spirit and power, that it will touch the hearts that are seeking for truth, that will open the ears that are deaf, that will give sight to the blind. So, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. The title of our message or lesson tonight is titled, Being Redeemed from Death by Jesus. Being redeemed from death by Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. That's you know, if we didn't say anything else, that should be enough. And here is one of the reasons why preaching Jesus to the soul is so important. Jesus did what no one else could do and would do. Amen. All these other religions who have these other gods didn't do for them like Jesus did for all mankind and couldn't done it, okay? Couldn't done it and wouldn't do it, okay? And this is why as believers, we're told to love all men, but we was never told to compromise the word of God. This is why, you know, you can love man and be in disagreement with him. That can happen. And what we must understand as a people, as Christians, that we are not to compromise the word of the Lord Jesus Christ for no one. We're not to take down to other religions, quote, gods. We're told not to honor and worship other gods. So this message today, you know, I'm grateful for what Jesus did for us, also shows why Jesus is number one and the most important thing that you can preach, okay? And I know that some of us as Christians, we say, well, I want to walk in love. I don't want to be no contention. Listen. I'm not telling you to go cuss somebody out because they don't believe in Christ. Honestly, I'm not saying that, but you have to really be willing. You know, the word of God said in the book of Jude to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You got to be willing to. And now, when I say contend, I ain't talking about you going off on people, stuff like that, but you got to be willing to make a stand. Okay? You got to be willing to do that. People, if you don't stand for something, you'll, as they say, fall for anything. So you got to be willing to stand, okay, for the faith that once was delivered to the saints, okay? So, yes, I can love Joe, even though he's worshiping Hindu gods. Yes, I can love him, but I'm not to, as they say, for the sake of peace, give his, quote, Hindu gods reverence. I'm not going to do that. See, because, you know, I honestly have seen and believe that some of us as Christians, when the Lord says to love all men, we took it to a place where it shouldn't have went, okay? And I think that some of us also didn't fully understand what he meant by that. What he didn't mean that you are to compromise his word for the sake of men. Glory to God. Having said that, we're going to go into the word of God tonight. And I want to open up from a scripture from the book called The Word of the Lord. Now, for those of you who are first-time listeners, now, yes, you say, okay, you're talking about this Word of the Lord. What is it? You don't believe in the Bible? Yes, I believe in the Bible. The Bible contains the Word of God also. But this book, The Word of the Lord, which is Messages of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he sent through the Elijah to all mankind, thus far 120 messages, this is a book also that goes with the Bible, amen? Part of the two or three witnesses thing, okay? Now, if you want to hear more about that, this work of the Lord Jesus Christ sending his message through his angel, the Elijah, and sending these messages, you can go to, and Blog Talk Radio records our past episodes. So you can click on sometimes a little Bible on the right-hand side, click on the drop box to show up, click on episode, or if you can click on the God's Word to Man logo and look for the episode, click on that, and you can look up a broadcast titled Jesus Communicating to Man Through Angelic Visitation, and then another one is just titled How Can I Tell If These Messages Are From God? And then the third one is titled The End Time Work, Restitution and Restoration. Now, you can look up those past broadcasts and get more information about this Word of the Lord book. Amen. And that's the beautiful thing about Blog Talk Radio. Our broadcasts are recorded to where a person can go back and listen to it. So just like after I finish this broadcast around, which will be 7 o'clock p.m. here, I think it will be ready to be listened to again if anyone miss it. I think it's around 7:30. I think it takes 30 minutes or so. But anyhow, praise be to God. So in the message that Jesus sent through the Elijah, and I want to give you this date, June the 9th, 1939, because once again, I'm giving you this date because I want you to search it up. I want you to ask Jesus about it. Like I said, we're not doing anything hideous. In fact, we were told to tell you about this work, and that's what I'm doing. And we were also told to point you to Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, in this word that Jesus sent through the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, the angel of the Lord, this is the message he sent. And he sent the angel to say this, to say, I come to you in peace. I bring a message from the Lord. Okay? He that has loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that he might man redeem. Amen. Now, in sending of his angel messenger, once again, he did not deviate from what was originally written, per se, in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if any angel were to be coming to you or anyone and claim to be delivering a message from Jesus and it contradicts what's already written, then you can rest assured throw it in the trash can. Okay? So Jesus let us know that the Father gave his only begotten son that he might man redeem, okay, or the redeemed man. Okay, Now, here's the question. Was it just to redeem some men or certain men, or was it for all men? Well, let's look at another message here from the word of the Lord here. Thank you, Jesus. Another message from the word of the Lord. And this message came out. Now, once again, I want to give you a date for this one, that you can ask the Lord Jesus about this. This message come out March the 30th, 1965. March the 30th, 1965. Okay? Amen. And in this message, now, the question is going to be answered. Jesus, the Father gave his only begotten son that man might be redeemed. And we're going to look for the answer to the question, is it some men or certain race of men or color men or just males or female? What is it? Okay. I want to read one of these scriptures from this message 81 or the 81st message, meaning the 81st time that the Lord sent the Elijah with a message to mankind. Okay, listen to what he said. He said, remember there is one God, one Jesus Christ, between God and men, okay, who gave himself a ransom for all. Do you hear that? For all, not for some, for all, that mankind may be redeemed, even the saving of sinners, a way of deliverance. So the Father gave his only begotten son that he may redeem man. That's all men. Okay? Because, see, the Lord we serve is not a prejudiced God. He's not prejudiced of your color. He's not prejudiced of your gender. Now, sad to say, some of us in Christianity have made it out like he is. Okay? Like he like more whites than he do blacks, or more blacks than white, or he like the Chinese and don't like the whites, or he like males but don't like female. That's what some has portrayed the true and living God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be like. Someone who is biased and, get this, racially prejudiced, okay? Amen. I mean, you had people coming up with scriptures of why two different races could not marry and trying to get and apply scriptures to it when they miss it a mile long. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so, thank you, Jesus. So Christ was given by the only begotten Father, by the Father, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ was given that all men might be redeemed. That's male and female. That's any kind of race or any color. Don't matter what country you're living in, no matter where you're living at, Christ was given that he may redeem you. For those of you that is listening, perhaps some of you that is listening, maybe you're not saved, okay? And you're hearing this message. And you say, well, I'm a sinner, so he must do it. Yes, he did do it for you. He did it for you, too, to give you a chance to accept him as Lord and to come away from the road that is leading to darkness or eternal darkness, a hell and a lake of fire and brimstone. He's given you the opportunity to come away from that. So, yes, he redeemed you also. He did it to redeem you also. Amen? Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the only begotten son was given, hallelujah, that man might be redeemed. Now, what does redeem mean? Well, Webster provides quite a few definitions on it, but one of them definitely I want to read out to you. The meaning of redeem means to free from captivity by payment or ransom. To free from captivity by payment or ransom. That's why he said in the word of the Lord here, Remember, there's one God, one Jesus Christ between God and man, who gave himself a ransom for all. See, no other religions, quote, their gods didn't do such a thing. Amen. None of their gods can claim that and didn't do it. Okay? That's why as a believer, when you're witnessing about Christ, you got to stand on that, people. You say, well, I might lose my friend, or I might lose my wife or lose my husband. Well, that's very possibility. But guess what? Having Jesus is the greater thing. Because remember, your husband, your wife can't save you. Okay? They didn't give themselves a ransom for you. And even if they had, it was not enough concerning them to do that, to deliver you from hell. Okay? Because why? They in the bad secrets of their own selves, okay? Amen. So Christ was given that he might man redeem, or to redeem man, to deliver man from captivity by payment or ransom. So the question is now, what did Jesus deliver us or by payment or ransom from? Okay? What did he deliver us by payment or ransom, by giving himself as ransom for us? What did he redeem or deliver us from? What was this thing that we were captive to, that had us in captivity, that we need such a freedom that, get this, no man could do, but only one. When I say no man, no regular human could do, no matter, even if he was called a servant of God, he could not do it for mankind. What was this captivity that we needed to be free from, that no one else could do but Jesus? Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, and let Paul, the Apostle Paul, answer this question for us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And look what the word of God says. It says, Christ, look how the sentence start off. It didn't say your grandmama or your granddaddy. It didn't say your favorite pastor. It did not say your wife or your husband or your children. It did not say your best friend. It did not say a very popular person here on earth. In fact, it didn't even say Moses or David. It did not say Paul. It did not say Peter. It said Christ hath redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. So the captivity that we were in, that we needed deliverance from, was called the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So we were redeemed, and Christ was given to redeem us from the curse of the law. Do you hear what I'm saying? The curse of the law. Now, one of the things we must understand about the curse of the law was that it was threefold, okay? So when someone violated or didn't heed the word of God, okay, it was threefold, okay? And of this threefold, I want to, in this part of the series, this is why it's titled, Being Redeemed from Death by Jesus, I want to talk and look more concerning the first of the threefold. I'm going from greatest to least of the three. So I want to start off with the first one of the threefold. And the first one of the threefold that we were redeemed from was death. Okay?
death. Okay, now, how do we know this? Well, for us to know this, we need to go back to where the stuff happened. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Okay. And this is the very first curse that God spoke that would happen based on disobedience. Okay. The very first curse that the Lord spoke to man that would happen based on man's disobedience. Okay? You understand that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. In fact, let me start at verse 16 and go 17. 17 is going to be our key verse. Now look what it says. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day, not in the days, okay, in the day, in the very time that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt, not maybe, not could be, not possibly, but thou shalt what? Die. Surely die. He didn't just say thou shalt die. He said surely die. In fact, the Lord was so sure of what he was telling you that there was no room for doubt. Okay? He's not like us. We can say some things, have a little room of doubt in our mind, and we are worded a certain way. But our Lord got so much in confidence in what he says, he can put the word surely on there. Thou shalt surely die. Not might, not a possibly chance, but you shall. In other words, he said, the day that you eat this fruit, this thing is going to happen. Okay? It's going to happen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, once again, this is the first curse that the Lord spoke to man that would happen from the result of disobedience or breaking his law. Okay? Hallelujah. So, and here's the thing. Now, he gave Adam all these other trees, okay, in the garden. Say, you can freely eat. Just go on, knock yourself out, Adam. He said, but this particular tree right here, don't fool with it. And that's amazing, which typically shows of us as mankind, the things that God say no to, that's what we try to go mess with. Or on top of this, we also have some help and try to go mess with it when we're being enticed by the enemy, okay? Because the enemy is not going to entice you to do what God says is okay. You can counsel that. Satan is not going to try to entice you to do right, okay? If the Lord told you drive the car and turn right, Satan is not coming to you saying, you know, you need to listen to the Lord and turn right. He ain't doing that. He's going to tell you, say, you know what? You can go a shorter cut if you just turn left, okay? So the Bible tells us that he gave Adam all these other trees and said, you can eat it. But this one particular tree, he said, don't. And the day you do it, you shall surely die. Okay? Once again, the Lord has no shakiness about himself when he says this. He said, thou shalt surely die. In fact, the Bible said that the Lord God took the man and put him in it, and the Lord commanded him. Okay? So the Lord spoke this to Adam. Okay? And see, there are some of you who are listening under the sound of my voice. There are some personal things that God has spoken to you. Gave you a command to do that which was acceptable, but then he showed you things that he said, don't fool with it. I forbid you to do it. And the enemy has come and spoken and enticing you, and you have gotten into it, and it has caused problems. Okay? Because the Lord told you, I forbid you to do this thing. And rest assured, that's what the enemy had you focus on. And in this enticement, you listen to a word and you went on anyhow. Now you're in a situation right now. Repent, okay? Repent to the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up. Repent and turn away from it. If you're doing that thing, you got to stop, okay? Because you can stand before the Lord and say, I'm sorry for doing it. And if you're still doing it, that curse is going to remain there. Because why? One of the definitions of the word repent means to turn from sin to the amendment of one's ways. So you got to turn away from that action of sin that you're doing. Amen? Glory be to God. Thank God for the precious word. Now, we see in Genesis 2 and 17 that the Lord told Adam, the day you eat that fruit, you shall surely die. Okay? Now, when you ask some people and you this question, when you say, did Adam die? Well, there are some out there saying, no, he didn't, because when you read the Bible, at the eight, he was running from God. He was still alive. I said, well, in one sense, you're right. He was running from God. He was still alive. But the first part, you're wrong, because he did die. Now, somebody say, what you mean? Well, let's understand something about when the Lord said, thou shalt surely die. This death that Jesus is talking about actually was threefold itself, okay? There's three. Well, I've heard more than three, but I'm going to show you that there's three types of death, okay, that even the Word of God shows you, okay? And we must understand, when the Lord told Adam, the day you eat it, you shall surely die, that die was true, and the threefold start to go into the operation. The first of the threefold, now, I know you said, are you confused? Now, I'm not confusing. I'm talking about the curse of the law. Yes, the curse of the law was threefold, but I'm breaking down the first of the curse of the law, which is death. Death can be broken down into a threefold, and this thing actually started to go into operation. Now, you say, well, what is the three types of deaths? Okay. Well, let's take a look at this. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. In the New Testament here. Amen. Because many of God's people don't know this. They know of one type, but they don't know this overall, okay? So this is why we're looking into it today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And our key verse is going to be verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And the Word of God says, and you have he quickened. Now, he was talking to the Christians, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you say, well, how do we know he was talking to Christians? He was talking to the Christians here at Ephesus or Ephesians. And you say, well, how do you know he was talking to the Christians? Well, when you look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, not sinners, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay? See, that statement, faithful in Christ Jesus, can only belong to you if you're born again. If you're not in, if you're not saved, you'll be considered outside of Christ. But if you say you are in Christ, okay? Now, going back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it said, and you have he quickened. Word quickened here is dealing with being made alive. Who were dead in what? Trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, one of these deaths that we're looking at here, when Paul said in chapter 2, verse 1, And you have he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Where in time past ye walk according to the course of this world. Now stop there. Now notice he said in verse 1, you have he quickened who were dead. The word dead spelled like that means past tense. You were dead in trespass and sin. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Now, this dead right here is referred to spiritually dead. Because if you were physically dead, how could you walk according to the course of this world? You get that? So one of the deaths that the Lord was talking about when he said that to Adam was spiritual death. Spiritual, first of all, death means separation. And it's dealing with separation from God. So when Adam sinned, he became spiritually dead. So he was cut off from contact with the Lord. He was separated from God spiritually. And death had a hold in his spirit. It had a hold of his spirit. The spirit of the enemy had a hold upon it. Okay? And so when the Lord told Adam, the day that you should eat it, you should die, he did die. He died spiritually. Okay? Spiritual death got a hold of him. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. So he said, you have quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. So he was talking about spiritually dead and trespass and sin. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the second type of death. Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse 26, the last verse in James chapter 2, verse 26. James chapter 2, verse 26. Glory be to God. The last verse in that second chapter. Now look what the word of God says here. He said, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, notice he said, for as the body without the spirit is dead. Now, when that happens, that is what you know as physical death. When Adam sinned, he became spiritually dead. And spiritually death opened up the door for what? For physical death to come. Okay? Amen. See, that's why today, you know, you get to a certain point, you die. Physically. Okay? So when the spirit and soul is separated from the body, that's death. Okay, so physical death. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And see, most people, and if I had to dwindle it down to specifics, most Christians know of this death, the physical death. But they had not been taught about the spiritual death. They had not been taught that before they got saved, they were spiritually dead. And see, some Christians don't know this, okay? They know that Christ died for their sins. That's true. They know that Christ gave himself as a sacrifice, a ransom. That's true. But some of them don't understand, why did you need saving? Some don't understand that. And once again, this is not a put down. I'm just being straight with you. Because you know what? I was in that condition one time. I did not fully understand or know, why did I need saving? That's why some sinners out there, when you talk to them about being saved, they give you their whole resume of how good they are. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't go out. And they think that by them giving that resume, well, I need to be saved for. I'm good. But they don't know that they by them not being born again, they don't have the life of Christ in their spirit, so they are spiritually dead, separated from God, okay, and heading to a role and a place where the spiritually dead go to. And the spiritually dead do not go to heaven. They don't go to the third heaven with God. They don't go to paradise, which is a part of heaven. They don't go there, okay? You know, that's why I told a sister in the Lord, I told her one time, this is why, and I don't mean to be funny when I say this, this is why I don't too much like doing funerals of people that ain't saved. And you said, why is that? You got a prejudice against them or something? No. Because many times, many of the families want you to automatically put that dead loved one in heaven. Now, that said, same dead loved one, cuss Jesus, cuss you for even bringing up Jesus, and said all kinds of evil just about most all the days of his or her life, and died like that, not having to accept Christ. And many times the family, when you are preaching the funeral, wants you to tell how great and good they were and how they going to heaven. They want you to tell people out there in the congregation how that the man or the woman is going to bust heaven wide open. Well, that simply is not true. Okay? Amen. Now, you can say amen or oh, me anyhow. I'm just going to come with the word right here. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the third type. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Okay. So when the Lord told Adam, the day that you should eat that fruit, you will die. He did. He died first spiritually. Spiritual death had a hold of his spirit. He became cut off or separated from God. The spirit of the enemy had a hold of his heart now, of his spirit. At the same time, this spiritual death brought with it physical death, where his flesh could not live forever in this state that it in, that it had to die. It had to go down, okay? And that's what we in right now. Amen. Now, this third type of death here, Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, the word of God says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So this third type of death is referred to as the second death. And so all that is in hell is going to be cast along with hell too into a place where it's called the lake of fire and brimstone. You get that? Hallelujah. And get this now. You can't wait till the afterlife to say, oh, I'm going to do right and change. No, you have to have this thing established before you leave this earth. That's why while you're on this earth, you choose your destiny. Okay? Husband, wife, brother, sister, kinfolk, grandmama, granddaddy can't do it for you. You're going to have to make a personal choice. Okay? And choose. You choose your destiny where it will be in the hereafter. Now, we know where the Lord wants you to be. That's his will, where he wants you to be. But he gave you free moral agency. So the Lord said, now you got to choose. Okay? Amen. You have to choose. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. So spiritual death opened up the door for physical death, which when a person remained there and died in the afterlife, and go into the afterlife and die, they end up going into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is called the second death. The Lord didn't want this and still don't want it. This is why he gave his only begotten son that man may be redeemed. From what? From death. Okay? And that's what Jesus came to redeem us from. From this death. And this death started by Adam. Okay? Hallelujah. I remember one minister on TV said, man, if I had a chance to talk to Adam, pow, I would hit Adam. But man, what was you doing? Okay. But this is where this death started. Okay. This is where it started. Where, and remember this, once again, as recorded in the Bible, this is the first place where God said to man, a curse will happen. If you break this command I give you, you're going to be cursed, okay? You got some people today who are doing stuff that God has forbidden and have the audacity I have to use the word audacity, people. To think that they supposed to still go on be blessed when they doing what the Lord had forbidden them to do. Okay? Because, see, people act as though that the Lord Jesus is the biggest dummy that they ever seen. Okay? You know, people just think that God's just completely dumb. Okay? They actually think that. And so when you tell them that God is long-suffering and love, that translates in their mind, push over, run over, or doormat, that's what they think about God. But see, God had to show them who's the man. And apparently he is. Amen? Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Got a little bit more time here on this hour broadcast. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 in the Bible. Glory to God. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Amen. The book of Genesis chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. It said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them themselves aprons. Now, we see here that Adam disobeyed and violated the command of God. When God told him, say, hey, you can't partake of that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't I forbid you to mess with that fruit. Don't mess with that fruit right there, Adam. All these other trees, man, you can eat from it. You can eat, just go ahead and just eat. He said, but this tree right here, don't fool with it, Adam. And we see Adam did. He did. We saw that he disobeyed. So therefore, just like God said, curse of death came upon him. Amen. It came upon him. Now, I want to take you to where another servant of the Lord was given this concerning Adam, that he had disobeyed, failed, okay, sin, and not doing it. And this scripture would come from a book called The Record of the Nephite. Amen. And once again, if you want to hear more concerning it, when you go to Blog Talk Radio, click on the Bible or the God's Word of Man logo, the Dropbox show up, hit on episodes, and you can look up a past episode titled Sign of the Restoration and Restitution. And you can look for another one that says, how did the record of Nephi come forth? So these scriptures I'm going to come to you with now is going to come from the book called The Record of Nephi, where the Lord had given to his servant over here, in this continent during prehistoric times, named Lehi. Now, Nephi, and I want to read to you what the Lord gave unto him. Amen. Concerning Adam's disobedience and where he failed, okay? Because we got to remember about Jesus. Jesus is not a contradictory God. He's not a confused God. He's not a God that knows what he say one minute and forget the next minute. He ain't that type of God. And as I said before, if God was dealing with you on a certain subject and gave you revelation on that subject, can he not give someone else the same revelation he gave you? Well, of course he can. But see, because we're used to hearing about one particular thing, we think he can't. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate? Like, for example, the Bible. You got many Christians think that the Bible is the only book that contains the Word of God. Well, that's not true. And in fact, the Bible itself testifies that there are other books, okay? But you got some Christians who, and I was in the same place too, who have grown up all their lives just hearing the Bible. And so when you mention a book like I'm mentioning called The Record of the Nephite, they automatically shaking their head, no, no, I don't accept it, no, no. And then there's some that find out when you accept The Record of Nephite, they thinking that you are disowning the Bible. No, we believe in the Bible also, okay? Now, having said that, I want to read to you what was given to, it says in The Record of Nephi, but I think this is titled the Second Book of Nephi, and Nephi recorded this where another servant was speaking on this named Jacob, okay, named Jacob, servant of the Lord here on this continent during prehistoric time. And I want to read to you what the Lord gave him concerning Adam's fall. He said, and because that he had fallen from heaven, now that he's talking about right here is Satan, otherwise known as Lucifer. And because that he had fallen from heaven and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of mankind. Wherefore he said unto Eve, okay, when he came in the form of, yea, even that old serpent, which is the devil, which is the father of all lies, whereof he say, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die, but ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So understand this. When Satan was telling Eve that, he wasn't trying to help them. He wasn't trying to help them at all. In fact, you know, he has become miserable forever. And so therefore, he sought the misery of mankind. And he knew what would make them miserable if that they would break this command of the Lord that they would get in sin. Why did he know that? Because he's the number one example of anybody knowing this could be, okay? Because according to what Jacob wrote here in the Nephite record, he is miserable forever, and he sought the misery of mankind. Have you ever been around some people that it seemed like they ain't got nothing to be happy about, and they definitely don't like you to be happy, so they got to try to do something to try to make you all upset? I know some of you can raise your hand right now. You probably could think back to high school and say, man, good grace. Man, some guys I used to hang with, man, I looked at the day, I said, I don't know how I hung with them. Because them guys didn't have no happiness about them and didn't want you happy. Yeah, there's some people that look at you and don't want to see you happy. Well, the number one on the list is Satan. Satan do not want to see you happy. He is miserable forever. Amen. Now, he tells Eve, he said, partake of the forbidden fruit. Ye shall not die, but ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And after that, Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden to till the earth. Okay? Amen. Because what? Because now they are fallen. Okay? And it said that they had brought forth children, yea, even a family of all the earth. And the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Wherefore, their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandment which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandment that all men must repent, for he showed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgression of their parents. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So Adam and Eve failed. They failed. And so just like the Lord said that what happened, it happened. The day you eat that fruit, you shall die. And they died spiritually. And notice that when they ate the forbidden fruit, their eyes were open and they saw, they went and ran and hid themselves and made themselves aprons, you know, out of fig leaves. And even when God come in the cool of the day, as is his custom, they were what? Call himself running from God. So that's how you know that the wrong spirit is driving you. It's when you, instead of you coming to God, whenever he appear or appearing, you take off running. I remember coming up, the early years in the church, when back in the, early 2000s, we had one man that visited us. We were having a service, and I think we was praying or something in the service, and I think we was having deliverance sessions or something. Man, next thing I know, I hear a door open behind me and close. That man took off and ran, okay? Took off and ran. Didn't see, that been years ago. Man, ain't seen the man no more. Ain't seen him no more. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Stop it right there. Glory be to God. Lord, say the same. I'm going to continue this part of this next Wednesday. I've been dividing different parts. I'm not, just because I said it don't mean I'm going to only be on back on the broadcast. I'll be out for a whole week. That's not saying that. I'm going to, Lord, say the same, continue this part next Wednesday. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for this day that you made and created, we thank you for what you're doing, for what you're going to do. And Father, we ask that you would water the seed I've sown, that it may bring forth the increase in Jesus' name for the glory of God. So, Father, we just thank you. We magnify and glorify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory, glory, glory be to God. So, once again, I thank God for all you've been listening to the broadcast. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. The Lord say the same. Look for our advertisement tomorrow. So, once again, Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.